only the smartest people about baseball around the United States of America. And I would call my next guest nothing but one of the smartest people you will ever talk to about the Major League Baseball, minor league baseball. He runs Baseball America. If you ever see it in any clubhouse or any newsstand, you should pick it up because it has all the inside scoop of what is going on. Jim Callis joins us. Jim, how are you this morning?
I'm doing good, Vinny. How are you doing?
Good, good, good. Well, you know, I don't know how I'm doing because I am a Ronnie Cedeno fan. I might be the only Ronnie Cedeno fan left in the free world. I think
I'm laughing a little bit, Vinny, because I think I've given up on him. But for the longest time, I would have been in that club with you. I just don't understand how the guy was so good in AAA and can't hit in the majors. But it's I think I've finally given up on him, but I was with you for a very long time. I thought I was the only Ronnie Cedeno fan.
No, I am too. I mean, I saw him, you know, him in Seattle when they traded for him from Chicago, and then I almost feel like the guy's following me around, and you see the scattered little patches of a guy that could be a good shortstop, but you see, you see much more Frank Tavares out of him these days than you see anything else. Now the Pirates bring in Brandon Wood, a guy who, well, let's just say hasn't lived up to his potential either. Are they trading one bad potential for the other at this point, or what's the scoop on Brandon Wood?
Yeah, you know, Brandon at one point, you know, was up there with the, you know, elite prospects in the minor leagues, and he had a 40 home run season in high class A when he was about 20 years old, and then he went to the fall league that year and hit, I think, about another 15 or 16 home runs, and you know, I thought he could possibly help the Angels, you know, in the playoffs that year or the next season. And, you know, I think it's a good gamble to take. I mean, in the end, you might not get anything out of him, but for the price of a waiver claim, you know, why not? You know, he's, you know, not, you know, he can play shortstop. He's not the rangiest shortstop. He's more of a bigger guy. But, you know, there is some offensive potential in there. I mean, if you look at his major league stats, they're not good. You know, he's not produced. That said, I do think he gets a little bit, you know, of a unfair, you know, gets hammered a little bit unfairly because it's not like he ever had regular playing time with the Angels. You know, the Angels are a defensive-oriented team. And he's not that classic defender, and he never really got a chance. No, he never had a chance where somebody said, it's your job, just go out there and play. You know, he'd get a few at-bats, it didn't produce, back down to the minors. Get a few at-bats, didn't produce, sit on the bench. And so, yeah, the numbers are ugly, and you know, I've seen some people saying, oh, you know, I can't believe the Pirates are claiming this guy. You know, his career on base percentage in the big leagues is terrible. But, you know, it's not that many at-bats. He's never had a chance to play. Is he going to hit? I wouldn't bank on it. But I, you know, if I was running a team, I would definitely take a chance. I mean, if you're the Pirates, what do you have to lose? You know, why not throw him out there every day, you know, for 2 months and see what happens? And he might surprise you.
Well, there are guys also that we're talking to Jim Callis from Baseball America. There are guys also when you get to, you know, obviously the pressure with the Angels is to win every year. There's an expectation there. You're playing in the second biggest market in the country, you know, for a team that's expected to do something each year. Now you come to the Pirates, and let's face it, you know, anything you add to this team is going to be good. Maybe the pressure's off a little bit. Maybe he doesn't have to feel that pressure to, not to perform well, but that he has to be part of this bigger cog that's going to go out and win the World Series. Are there guys like that that prosper in those types of situations?
I think so. You know, he's definitely going to get cut some more slack. I mean, it's you know, again, it's not like he's knocking Derek Jeter and Cal Ripken out of the lineup. I mean, you're talking about Ryan Cedeno and Josh Rodriguez, and you know, I mean, I think Mike Socia is one of the best managers in the big leagues, but, you know, but you hit the nail on the head. I mean, they're trying to win every year. I think Mike Socia is, you know, a very high standard of defense, probably higher than most managers. And if you aren't producing and you aren't, you know, you're not as good defensively as Eric Ibar, you know, who's another shortstop there in Los Angeles. And I'm with you 100%. I think the fact that you're not in that spotlight where, you know, if you make an error, you strike out and cost your team a game, it's not potentially knocking them out of the playoffs or putting them a game behind, I think it can make all the difference in the world.
Jim, the Pirates haven't developed shortstops. As a matter of fact, a lot of people here can't remember the last good shortstop that they developed in their system. You know, and you could probably point around a lot of different positions, but shortstop seems to be one that they've had trouble for a long time. There doesn't seem to be anything solid. I mean, it's Chase Darnot that's down there a little bit, you know, in Double A, but there's nobody that's really kind of jumping up and saying this is the shortstop of the future. Is that something around baseball right now where you're seeing teams maybe going back to places like San Pedro de Macorís to find guys as opposed to developing them in the minor leagues?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some truth to that, you know, and I like Chase Darnell a little bit, and you know, he probably, when it all shakes out, is more of a second baseman defensively than a shortstop. But, you know, he'd probably get the job done okay at shortstop, but nobody wants just an okay defender at shortstop in the big leagues. And, you know, I'm working on something. I haven't actually researched it enough, but I was started to, and I didn't get through all 30 teams, but you know, I was looking at opening day lineups. You know, there are more shortstops in opening day lineups that came from foreign countries, either signed internationally or a foreign-born player who was drafted in the U.S. than there are American players who were signed out of the draft. And you talk about the Pirates' difficulty, and I think one of the reasons Pirates have fallen on hard times in general, too, is, you know, the Pirates at one point were one of the kind of pioneers in Latin America, and they really have let that part of their operation, you know, really fail. I mean, it's starting to bounce back a little bit. You know, they got, you know, Starling Marte's a prospect they signed a couple of years ago who looks promising, but you know, it just seems like for whatever reason, there's a lot more shortstops to be found internationally than domestically. I think part of it may be that the guys who are those quality shortstop athletes, I think a lot of them, you know, are playing point guard in basketball or cornerback in football, you know, sports where you can get, you know, more, I think, attention and more fame as an amateur. And I don't think as many of those kids are playing shortstop. You know, a lot of the highly drafted U.S. shortstops, you know, wind up moving to other positions. And, you know, just in the last two drafts, like last year, there was one surefire shortstop in the draft, and that was Manny Machado. You know, and again, I mean, he wasn't an American-born player, I don't believe. And this year, there's one surefire shortstop in this year's draft. It's a kid named Francisco Lindor, and he's a Puerto Rican-born player. So I just think it's the nature of, for whatever reason, that the shortstop-type athletes in the U.S. are playing other sports or whatever, and you know, the high standard of the position, it just seems like more and more, a higher percentage of them are coming from Latin America.
Jim Callis from Baseball America with us here on the Saturday Morning Baseball Magazine. I want to ask you a question about, I don't know, curing, I guess, players, when is the right time to bring guys up. We're seeing Pedro Alvarez struggle up here. We saw Brad Lincoln struggle coming out of the minors last year, and I constantly have this argument with people about when is the right time to bring somebody up. I know that there's no rule for everybody, but are we starting to see, and I go back to think about maybe Steven Strasburg as well for the Nationals, are guys being rushed up to the major leagues at this point, especially on teams like the Nationals, teams like the Pirates, that need some star power up there? Are we starting to see guys rushed a little bit as opposed to the thing of leaving them down in the minors, let them cure as players, let them become baseball players?
Yeah, I mean, I think it may be a little bit. I mean, I think part of it is that you're investing a lot more money in these players. You know, as amateurs, you know, Alvarez signed a $6 million major league contract, and Strasburg got a $15 million deal. And, you know, even Brad Lincoln, I think, got a deal in the high twos as fourth overall pick in the draft. And when you invest that much, you want to return on your investment quickly. I think a lot of times, you know, with the teams that have losing records, it's a lot easier to try to sell the future if you're part of an embattled front office by saying, okay, here, you know, we do have some talent coming. Here's an example. You know, it's tough. I mean, I think a lot of it depends on whether it's, you know, when you're making these decisions on the mental toughness of the players. You know, if you think the guy can handle coming up and struggling a little bit, you know, and bounce back from it, that's fine. You know, like I don't think it's necessarily terrible for Pedro Alvarez to try to, you know, get acclimated to the big league. You know, it's not like he's preventing the Pirates from winning the division this year, or that there's a whole lot left to prove in the minor leagues. You know, as long as it's not going to develop into something that buries them. You know, Andy LaRoche kind of was highly touted with the Dodgers, and they got traded to the Pirates, and, you know, he never seemed to really kind of get over that hump. So, you know, I think you got to have to know your own players pretty well to know whether or not they can handle it. You know, I think Brad Lincoln's mentally tough too, but you know, watching him come up and get shelled repeatedly last year was kind of tough to watch at times.
Jim, final question for you as we look ahead to the draft that's coming up in June. Pirates with the first pick. Is the third baseman out of Rice still the guy, or is there somebody like a pitcher out of UCLA that might be gaining on him a little bit?
Those are the two guys. I mean, Rendon came into the year as the top prospect, but Cole was right behind him as the clear number two, and I think it's just a matter of which way the Pirates, you know, want to go. You know, it's still kind of early to know what they'll do. I mean, I know you read some stuff nationally, and it seems like everybody's trying to bury Anthony Rendon. You know, I've seen writers, you know, because he's had a shoulder injury this year, but that's not a long-term concern. I mean, shoot, Pedro Alvarez was hurt for much of his, you know, draft year at Vanderbilt, and Yeah, Rendon is still a potential. I think the best comp for him is kind of a little smaller version of Evan Longoria. Maybe a little bit better hitter, not quite the same power, but very similar player and a good defender. And, you know, Gerrit Cole, you're talking about a guy with a well above average fastball and a good slider and a good changeup, and he's, you know, kind of got the prototypical body. I think it's just a matter of which way you want to go. You know, if you take Rendon, you know, Pedro Alvarez is going over to first base, which is where I think most scouts think he's headed, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like you're going to have two third basemen, you have no place to play Rendon. If it were me, I would still take Rendon today. But he's had a shoulder injury and been DHing, I think, more as a precaution. And so it's possible that, you know, if you're picking number one, maybe you want the guy you know is absolutely 100% physically. I think either one is a good choice. I would take Rendon, but if you take Gerrit Cole, that's fine too.
Jim, it's good to catch up with you. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yeah, I'm sure we'll talk some more as it gets closer to draft. And good talking to you too, Vinny.